Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Exclusive poll: by a 2-to-1 margin, investors reject woke companies pushing political causes. By an overwhelming margin, want companies they invest in to stop preaching. American investors, by an overwhelming margin, that is, want companies they invest in to stop preaching and pursue profits. And they want no part of the environmental, social, governance movement. An exclusive Daily Wire Echelon Insights poll reveals companies have increasingly been pushing woke causes onto their consumers, but the poll reveals they do so at their own peril. The poll of over 1,000 investors conducted last week by Echelon on behalf of the Daily Wire showed that the Americans want companies they invest in to seek profits instead of promoting political agendas outside of companies' missions. While 29% of respondents agreed it is a good thing for companies to leverage their financial power for political or social means supported by executives, 58%, though, twice as many, said it's a bad thing. Now, who says that's a good thing? Who are those people? Are they bots, I wonder? You know, the saying goes, you go woke, you go broke. And as propaganda campaigns intensifies across all walks, the fallout of them, other than to hypnotize some out of critical thinking, is straight up boredom. Agendas are boring. Agendas are tedious. And when people are inundated by them day in and day out, they need a break. So when they go to Netflix or the like to zone out, the last thing they want is more of the same, but with fictional characters this time. It makes all the sense in the world that the world of consumers is giving the corporations this kind of feedback. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. I look forward to a time when humanity evolves to the point of recognizing propaganda of any kind as the toxic manipulation that it is. And it's frowned upon and rejected the way it is in toxic personal relationships. There really is not much difference. This is a positive sign that we are heading in that direction, boredom with wokeness. Its main offense is that it has no humor, no spirit. It angles for everyone to slot in as a victim and pretend to be much less than they are. Because the truth is, we can bend space and time. We can affect our realities and cause great change. The truth is, we are infinite. We'll be right back with more TNT Radio.
Connecting the dots, painting the bigger picture.
They always have great conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Robert O. Young is on a mission. Do all we can to change and save lives. So Robert O. Young is on a mission with the alkaline diet and lifestyle. He may be on the threshold of a new biology. He's Robert O. Young. Welcome, Robert. How are you? Coming back from LAX, I guess, right?
Yeah, LAX. I haven't heard that song before.
I just made it up. Unless you were psychic.
The song by the Beatles. What's that?
I said unless you were psychic and could go into the future, there's no way you could have. I just made it up, literally just then.
Oh, I see. Well, the Beatles sing a song called "Dr. Robert." It didn't go to number one, but it's on their one of their albums. But you can look
Robert.
It up and listen to it. It's called Dr. Robert. And his special formulation.
Are you sure that's not called Rocky Raccoon? I don't know. I never heard Dr. Robert, but
have you heard Dr. Robert? Yeah, and his special drink. It goes, Dr. Robert. Dr. Robert, that's all I know.
Well, that's interesting because, well, mine's probably a lot better. I mean, I'm better than the Beatles, let's face it. Now, listen, that's interesting, though. The Beatles have a song, supposedly, I'm going to have to look this up, Dr. Robert, but that goes Dr. Robert, Dr. Robert and his magic drink, because you're, this alkaline diet champion, and I'm assuming, well, that maybe comes in a drink too sometimes, I guess. Why don't you explain this alkaline diet and what does it mean, and why are you so into it?
I like to call it a live it rather than a diet, because words do matter, and diet has the word die in it.
True.
And so I would prefer to call it a live it, you know, and
great.
Improving the quality and quantity of life. I mean, there are some obvious things that we all know, that there are certain lifestyles or certain foods or habits that we acquire. Some of them can be addictive. A lot of them can be. Even sugar relates to that. But it's, you know, the alkaline diet is really focused on specific foods that actually contribute, from a scientific point of view, more electrical energy to the body, with the with the understanding that the body runs on electrons. The body runs on electricity, not on sugar, not on carbohydrates, not on proteins, not on fats. You know, this whole, the most important thing of the energy cycle is the electron transport chain, and basically that's the life force energy. So some foods that we include in our diet, waters included, contribute electrical energy in the form of electrons, and some of them do not. They actually take energy from the body. And so, you know, I've studied whole foods, and in studying whole foods, you know, whether or not these foods will contribute life force energy in the form of increased electrons, or whether it takes it away. So someone will look at, let's say, the alkaline lifestyle and be somewhat confused about it, but it combines not only, you know, water and food, but also other lifestyle choices, you know, because the body, when it's using electrical energy, it produces chemical waste. And one of those chemical wastes we know to be lactic acid. And we all know what that feels like, because when we overexercise, that lactic acid gets pushed off from the cells into a fluid called the interstitial fluids. And if that isn't eliminated through sweating or through urination, the body parks it in our muscles, and that's what causes sore muscles, is the body's inability to remove its own waste product. And so the alkaline diet helps to support a reduction of irritation or inflammation, and really is a preventative lifestyle to increase not only energy, but to protect against the acids that cause sickness and disease. Mm. My basic theory is there is one health and there is one sickness and disease. And the one sickness and disease is the over-acidification of the blood and then tissues due to an inverted or perverted way of living, eating, and thinking. And the one prevention or the one treatment would be to manage and maintain the alkaline design of those fluids. Now, some people may not know the blood fluids are balanced at 7.365 to the thousands. And any variation in that, up or down, you can feel ill effects from. So on a scale from 0 to 14, it's just slightly at midpoint at 7.3. But the fluids that surround our cells, you know, like liver cells or brain cells or heart cells, the pH of that fluid ideally should be at 8.4. So because the pH scale is a logarithm to the power of 10, a pH of the blood from 7.365 to 8.4, which is, you know, pretty close to what the ocean is. That's why we kind of connect with ocean, swimming in the ocean and feeling that salty solution, that alkalinity of 8.4, because that's what our cells are accustomed to. Mm. And so bathing our cells in alkalinity is how we live longer. It's how we live better. And but it's a 10 times increase from the blood to the fluids that surround the cells called the interstitial fluids. And people will ask a question, well, why is that? Why is it 10 times more alkaline in the interstitial fluids or the fluids that surround the cell? And by the way, the interstitial fluids is 80% of the extracellular fluids, and the blood is only 20. So, you know, it's a very important fluid, which unfortunately medical science isn't testing. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but there is technology to test. And the only place that I know that where you can actually go for an interstitial fluid test would be to NASA. They have the technology to test these fluids because they're managing all of the biochemistry of the body for these astronauts that go into space. But for lay people, you know, us, you know, here in the United States and around the world, this isn't taught at medical school. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but they just added a couple of years ago a new organ they discovered, and it's called the interstitium, and it happens to be the organ that holds the interstitial fluids. And they don't even teach this in medical school. So if you talk to your doctor about the interstitial fluids, he'll probably know about that, but they don't. If you ask them, can you test the pH or the electrolyte levels of the interstitial fluids, so, well, no, we can test your blood, but we don't test these other fluids. But they're important because when you understand that you, in this alkaline living lifestyle, this one that will help to extend the quality and quantity of your life, when you start managing the fluids of your body like you would manage a saltwater aquarium or you would manage a swimming pool, you know, pH, you know, all of a sudden you take back control of your well-being,
your
of
health,
your vitality, of your health.
That's interesting. I never heard a doctor recommend drinking a bunch of alcohol so they get their alkaline levels up. I'm just kidding. I just made a stupid joke, but like,
no, that's a good kidding.
It really was. I thought it was the dumbest joke of all time. It was just like, but
no, I mean they don't
interstitial like you're. But let me just ask you this, Robert. Okay, but let me.
What's
that? I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, you're right. They did used to recommend smoking, but interstitial fluids, you kind of have to get layman on us a little bit because that you're speaking over our heads or over my head. I should just talk about myself.
Okay, so let me give you
another question on top of that too. So explain interstitial fluids a little bit more in layman's terms and what you just kind of said in a little bit more of a layman way. And then also tell us what exactly, what foods, I mean, you said water, but what things should we be taking and what should we be avoiding?
And those are very good questions. But to simplify this, and of course Einstein said, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand what you're talking about. So I would love everybody to listen to this closely because it's a metaphor. I call it the fishbowl metaphor. And so the fish is a metaphor for the human cell. And the human cell is what makes up our organs, our glands, our tissues. So muscles are made up of individual cells. But all those individual cells are swimming in a fluid that make up these organs and glands. Just like fish are swimming in an ocean, that ocean is like the interstitial fluid to the fish. So here's the metaphor. The metaphor begins with a question. If the fish is sick, what would you do? Would you treat the fish or would you change the water?
Right. This is the same thing they talked about in germ theory about the toads in that one book, Rainbow Unicorn something, where it's like if the toads get sick, it's because of their environment. It's the water. It's not so that sickness comes from environment, not from viruses, was the theory in germ theory.
Yeah,
but anyway.
And that dichotomy, well, here again, let's push that word aside. That contrast
Dichotomy's concept. Okay. I understand that word. That's
okay.
You can say that. You could say dichotomy.
It's a representation. Yeah, it's a representation of duality, opposites in all right. things. But
yeah.
But with the thing, in order to keep a health healthy, and so it lasts a long time. It lives a long time because the death of a cell is specifically related to the health of the internal environment. And that internal right. environment that determines whether you get sick or not is not the blood.
Mm.
That what you get sick, because the blood pushes all its waste product, all right. its poisons from what you eat. In other words, if you drink that alcohol, okay, that alcohol gets pushed from the blood and gets pushed into this ocean of water, just like your cells are swimming, and just like the fish, called the interstitial fluid. And so that once it's in the interstitial fluid, guess what happens?
What?
It travels everywhere.
Right.
It travels throughout the entire body through this freeway of fluid. It's the ocean of our bodies, of which our cells swim in.
What are the best health things to do to get the interstitial fluid to be, you know, and peak alkalinity?
Yeah, so one of the things you can do, which is very simple and it's inexpensive, is you can purchase some what is called pH hydrant paper. It's like litmus paper. It's stuff that people use to test their saliva or their urine. And when you urinate or when you sweat, that fluid is coming from this body of water, this ocean that surrounds all your fish, all your cells. It's coming from that ocean called the interstitium organ or the interstitial fluid. And so sweat is interstitial fluid. Urine is interstitial fluid. So when you get up in the morning and you test your urine, you pee on a little strip. And that has various chemicals in it that will change depending on what the pH is of your urine. So if you pee on the strip and it doesn't change color, you can then look at that, and there's a little color scale there that you can gauge what the pH is. And if it's yellow, you're going to see that the pH is down around 5.5. And if there's a color like a green color, a light green, that would be closer to 6.5 to 7. And if it's a dark green, that would be like 7.8 to 8. And if it's more of a dark green, or going now to more of a bluish
dark
color.
Green, dude, who pees dark green?
What's that?
I said, who pees dark green?
Yeah, you actually pee green.
Oh, really?
So
mine's either yellow or clear.
Again, the reagents in the pH strips react to the chemicals in your urine.
Right.
So most people, when they get up in the morning, which is called the acid tide, will probably range based on what they're eating and what they're drinking the day before, will test in the fives. Ideally, if you're eating an alkaline diet, livid, I should say, is the pH of that urine will test in the 7.2 and up. Ideally, if you're really good and you're hydrating properly with alkaline water, which is purified water at a pH of 9.5 or greater. So that's a water that contains electrons that can neutralize the acids, which are the waste products of metabolism. One of those acids that you know of that can cause us to literally pass out if we hold our breath for 4 minutes...
Lysergic?
If we don't get oxygen, it's called carbon dioxide. And that carbon dioxide is a poison. If the body doesn't get rid of it, then the body has to adsorb it, you know? So, you know, one of the things that alkaline water does is neutralize acids like lactic acid, like carbon dioxide, like citric acid. Those are the two main acids that cause cancer. And you don't see them necessarily if you're doing a blood test, unless you're in a metastatic cancerous condition. you see increases of citric and lactic acid in the interstitial fluids before you're diagnosed with cancer. So if you were to do a lactic acid test of the interstitial fluids and they were elevated, you know, you would say, well, okay, how do I get this out? You do it with what you eat, what you drink. You do it through drinking more alkaline water, and you can get this at the store. I mean, I've been talking about this for 40 years, so it's
what is like your diet made of? Like what diet do you follow?
Well, you know, for breakfast I'll have buckwheat. I had buckwheat with vegetables, and buckwheat is like a cereal, but it's not a grain, it's a seed. So it has an alkaline contributing factor to it, where rice is an acidic food and will increase extra acids in the body that the body has to deal with. Buckwheat doesn't do that. So vegetables like spinach leaf and broccoli, even fruit like cucumber and avocado, those are things I eat every single day. I mean, avocado is one of the most beautiful foods as far as health-wise because of its antioxidant values, because of its low sugar, because of its high protein. It's about 15% protein. It's also its high fats, monounsaturated oils, which help to bind up acidity. So avocado is a great food. You know, when spinach was really popular with Popeye, because most people who are younger probably didn't see Popeye's cartoons, but, you know, he gained his strength by eating spinach. And spinach is high in chlorophyll, it's low in salt, but it's also another one of these plants that contributes electrical energy to the body, and that's what our bodies run on. So
what about
the
meat
other thing
and
I
eggs?
Like to eat or drink is juices, you know, celery juice, spinach juice, cucumber juice, wheatgrass juice. I'll combine wheatgrass and barley grass with spinach and peppermint leaf, and that becomes, you know, one of the major one of the beverages I drink, not only to neutralize acidity, but chlorophyll is the molecule that helps to build hemoglobin. So it helps to keep your blood healthy.
All right. Hey, Robert, we got to go to a break. What about meat and eggs?
Well, do we have time to talk about that? Yes. Meat releases.
Let's go to break. Let's go to break. Sorry. Let's go to break, and we'll talk about that right when we come back. You're listening to Joseph Arthur. Robert O. Young is on the show, TNT Radio.
You should hear what Hervoy Morich is talking about.
This morning, I woke up to discover I've permanently been banned by a PayPal, as well as a number of other podcasters and writers, which is, you know, one of the principal ways I've been funding my Geopolitics of Empire podcast, the other thing that I work on. You know, it's clear for me that this direction has come from the U.S. government, likely the Pentagon, to Silicon Valley. You know, I don't think it's PayPal making the decision. It's the government.
Right.
This is a textbook example of fascism. So it's 2022, and I'm openly experiencing fascism.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Think tsunamis only happen somewhere else? Think again. Tsunamis happen when ocean water is displaced by an earthquake or other large undersea disturbance. Plan to act. If you are near the coast and feel a quake, hear the ocean roar, or see the water recede significantly, a tsunami may be approaching. Get moving. Go inland and up to safety. For more information, visit tsunami.gov.
The bushfire was so unpredictable, it was important to have a plan.
We stayed up to date with our phones and the radio. We knew it was coming.
I never thought it would actually happen. I'm glad we had a plan.
You have to prepare your property and your family.
That's why I always had a plan.
We can all be bushfire ready. Do your 5-minute bushfire plan today.
We're the voice of freedom. TNT Radio.
Robert O'Leo is on the alkaline diet, but I think he might be a vegetarian. Tony Robbins called him a genius multiple times. Robert O'Leo and the alkaline diet. Now, Robert, I got to ask a few questions, because once you get going, it's hard to get in there.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's hard to interject. I wonder, is sweating profusely a good sign? Because when I go to hot yoga, I sweat more than anyone else. And I've heard that that's not a bad sign. That's question number one. Number two, what about meat and eggs? And I thought like we were trying to like eliminate carbs and sugars, even if they are coming from fruits. And what about anti-nutrients like in kale and stuff? Because all things don't want to be eaten. All things want to survive, and animals can run away, but plants have to have what's called anti-nutrients, is what I've been hearing lately. And that, I don't know, you seem to be sort of vegetarian oriented with what you said so far. So that's a few questions for you. Go, man, go.
Yeah, so the first thing about the sweating and having that elimination organ open, in fact, I call the skin the third kidney. And you've got thousands of pores per square inch that allows these orifices allow for waste that are collected into the interstitium organ, in the interstitial fluids, that when you start exercising and contracting your muscles, that releases waste from the cells into the interstitial fluid, and then from the interstitial fluid, the muscles pump that fluid, you know, out, you know, towards the lymphatic system to remove it through the pores of the skin. So one of the best things you can do for your health is to sweat, and to stop sweating with deodorants or antiperspirants is to actually hold back that waste product that the body's trying to get rid of. And that can cause, you know, some lymphatic problems, some lymph node swelling, some irritation, inflammation, that can lead eventually to, you know, an ulceration or, you know, or a lesion. So sweating, when we're not moving our bodies, and we're meant to move our bodies, you know, and to contract and expand our muscles. When we do that, we move the waste products that are produced by metabolism, that are produced by respiration, that are inhaled through our environment, through our lungs, you know, through our diet. Our body's able to remove these metabolic, dietary, environmental, respiratory waste. And so the fact that you sweat, you know, is very, very good. But you also, on the other side, have to remember that when you're sweating, you're also losing salts and the electrolytes. So you could be losing magnesium, sodium, potassium, et cetera. And so you have to continually replace those.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the four major elements that the body thrives on is sodium, which is the major one. I mean, we're basically like fish in water. Our cells are swimming in a salt water. And in fact, in an emergency, if you had to go to the emergency room at the hospital, what's the first thing they hook you up to?
An IV?
No.
For electrolytes. I do a lot of fasting, and I use this thing called Trace Minerals, and it's like this concentrate, and it has potassiums and salts. And when I fast too, and another thing I wanted you to talk about is the process of autophagy, when your body starts eating the old dead damaged cells after about a day and a half of fasting, and how healthy that is for this whole makeup too.
Yeah, so these are all good questions. So sodium is the most important. So you need to eat liberal amounts of sodium, between 10 to 12 grams per 70 kilos, or which is 154 pounds. So there's no such thing as eating too much salt. There is such a thing as eating the wrong kind of salts or processed salts, let's say that have anti-caking agents such as aluminum oxide. You know, I don't, you know, to keep it from clotting, but here again, a whole salt, like a Celtic salt, a real salt, you know, that is a brand name from Redmond Salt, that comes from the Great Salt Lake, the north.
I love that one.
Great Salt Lake.
That's a good salt. Yeah.
What's that?
I love that salt. It comes in a box. It's fancy. It's nice. That's a good salt. I know that one.
Yeah. But this idea to go on a salt diet is assisted suicide. Your body needs salt with water and exercise. And exercise, you produce carbon dioxide. With alkaline water, with salt, your stomach can then produce a compound called baking soda, sodium bicarbonate. And this will be new to a lot of people because, once again, this is not taught in school and it's not taught in medical school. So, you know, if you're scratching your head, you've got to understand that the stomach's major purpose is to provide immunity for the entire body. And what does it do? It produces a compound called baking soda, sodium bicarbonate. And what are the ingredients of sodium bicarbonate? Salt, water, and carbon dioxide. And here's another point that's very important. And this point is that 90% of the carbon dioxide, you know, the carbonic acid that's produced, is used by the stomach to produce sodium bicarbonate. So when you're exercising, yes, you're producing carbonic acid. You're producing carbon dioxide. You know, you're also producing lactic acid. The body doesn't use lactic acid. That's a poison. It uses CO2 with water and with salt. And that's why salt is critical for a healthy body. And I highly recommend that you get off the sugar, which is the antithesis to salt. So when you're eating a complex carbohydrates and lots of sugary fruits, and if you look at my book, The pH Miracle, Revised and Updated, I have lists. And one of the fruits you should never eat are pineapples. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because they're loaded
too
with
sugar.
Excess sugar in the body is not good. Now, you may be scratching your head because when you were at school, you said, well, wait a minute, Dr. Young, I thought we needed sugar for energy. No, the body doesn't run on sugar. The body runs on electricity, electrons, in a saline salty solution. So in the studies that I did, I actually did a comparison. I actually took alkaline water, and I put sodium bicarbonate salt in it, and I took an electrode, put it in the water, and I turned on a light bulb, okay? Then I took sugar, and I took, you know, just regular sugar, doesn't matter any kind, and I put that into, like cane sugar, what have you, I put that into the water, and it turned the light out. Sugar is a waste product of
metabolism. Let me interject, Dr. Robert. I'm basically on a carnivore diet. I eat a lot of meat. I eat a lot of eggs. I have like yogurt and bananas after my radio show. And then I go to bed, lights out. I eat some almonds. I have eliminated sugar basically out of my life. And I feel so much better. I have tons of energy, no inflammation. I fast on a regular basis, usually 3 days a month. And I get the autophagy and I get the stem cell flush and all that. And I feel like I'm in a really good space diet and exercise wise, but I used to be more juicing guy, more vegetarian and all that, and it didn't land as well for me because it just sort of pushed me more towards carbs and stuff like that and sugar kind of based things. What's your take on the carnivore diet? How does that fit in with alkaline stuff and all that?
Well, one of our clients, Tom Brady, you know, eats, you know, grass-fed beef a little bit.
Me too.
But sparingly. It's not the major portion of his livid or his diet. He eats fish, but he also drinks and eats a lot of green foods, a lot of green vegetables, lots of avocados. And he has sustainable energy, and that sustainable energy is witnessed, you know, for the fact that he's 40-plus years of age and still performing at a very, very high level. But the problem with meat and eggs, of course, is on my top 10 foods of never to eat. And the reason why is because when you take an egg and scramble it or shake it or cook it, and once you start chewing it, the proteins, the genetic material, the anatomical elements that make up an egg go into the bloodstream and activate the neutrophils, which are the garbage collectors of the blood, to clean up the mess. So eggs, you know, activate your system, but not in a good way, but in a negative way. And so, you know, when I'm dealing with a condition of a cancerous condition where there's already degeneration going on of the cells, and there is genetic mutation, the first thing I do is take people off foods that produce nitric, sulfuric, phosphoric, and uric acids, because these acids eventually will cause cellular breakdown and deterioration of various parts of the body. So, you know, so I don't eat meat. I haven't eaten animal protein or eggs for now over 50 years. I actually became, you know, a born-again vegan, or whatever you want to call it, and people thought I was, you know, weird because I was trying to figure out a way, you know, to acquire sustainable energy since I came out of the field of professional tennis. And, you know, performance and endurance and energy is very, very important. And I just never felt good, you know, in that type of a situation. So I look at meat as foods. If you're having any sort of health challenge, you have to consider the possibility that you may have to eliminate or limit, you know, your animal proteins and start getting your proteins from plant sources like avocados, like buckwheat, like broccoli, like spinach, etc.
What about the anti-nutrients in things like kale? What about the fact that plants sort of, the rhetoric around that, I'm sure you've heard it, people who say kale is actually like, has anti-nutrients because every living thing doesn't want to be eaten. So that's the way plants try to protect themselves. And just by not being
looking at the whole food and its contents, all food has anti-nutrients, you know, protective, let's say, enzymes, you know, to protect itself or to protect the seeds, you know, so it can reproduce itself. And of course, our cells have not anti-nutrients, but nutrients such as glutathione, that releases to neutralize acids in the interstitial fluids to protect the cell membrane. And so, yes, there are poisons or toxins in all foods, but you have to compare those to what are the antioxidants or the not versus the oxidants, but the actual compounds that are actually either less than those particular anti-nutrients or greater than those anti-nutrients. So, for example, if you take a lemon has a pH of between 3.5 and 3.7. Well, some would say, well, that's not an alkaline fruit. But wait a minute, it's low sugar. And when you compare the nutrients to the anti-nutrients, it actually makes an electron contribution and provides more antioxidants than its anti-nutrients. So that is the case with kale. So kale actually makes an alkaline electron nutrient contribution greater than any of its, let's say, toxins that may be present.
Right. I got you. What about fasting? Are you a big proponent of fasting? I would think you would be.
Yeah, you know, I think fasting is good. I try to do it at least once a month. You know, some people do it more. They, you know, the intermittent fasting, where, you know, you go for longer periods of time. You know, what happens when you're fasting is you're giving your body, particularly your stomach and your intestines, a break. And most people think the stomach is a digestive organ, and most people think that the intestines is where your nutrients are absorbed and also a part of the digestive process. But in reality, the stomach is an organ of contribution, and its main purpose is to raise the alkalinity of the food to a pH of 8.4. And the purpose of the small intestine is to take food in a liquefied state at a pH of 8.4 and have that food fold into what are called the crypts of the small intestine, to biologically transform that food into erythroblasts, which then become red blood cells or erythrocytes. And this is where just another thing that's not taught in medical school is the blood, when you're healthy, is produced in the crypts of the small intestine. And when that is damaged, we're not producing enough blood, then the body starts producing it out of your muscle, out of your liver, out of your bones. And this is why when they look at cadavers or do, autopsy, they come to the conclusion that blood is made from the bones and in the bone marrow. That's because the person was dying, and he's not making enough blood. And if you want to make blood, I call it natural blood doping. And I do this with all the athletes that I work with. And we increase their blood counts up from 14 to 15 up to 17 and 18. Now, if Lance Armstrong had known how to do a natural blood doping rather than take his blood out and put it in after the fact, that you can do this with a plant-based green diet that's high in chlorophyll, fruit, and vegetables, but you cannot do it with meat. You cannot build your blood with meat and eggs. The animals that we're eating build their blood and their flesh with their heads to the grass, and rather than smoking it, actually drinking it and eating it. And so the bottom line is that chlorophyll is the molecule of life that builds blood. And that doesn't exist secondarily or tertiary in the flesh of animals. When you realize that or understand that their muscle, their bones, their brains, and their organs are made from their blood, you have to look at what they're eating, and what they're eating is a plant-based diet. And,
yeah, but I'm not going to eat a bunch of grass, Robert. I'm just kidding. Listen, we got to go on a quick break. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with Robert O. Young on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
Much of the legacy media has emphasized former President Donald Trump's losses in the most recent series of Republican primary elections. The typical line is that Trump continues with a discredited lie that the 2020 presidential election was stolen. The establishment media celebrates losses of any Trump-endorsed candidate who has voiced concerns of widespread election fraud in 2020. But a look at the recent round of primaries shows that 11 candidates who voted to overturn the 2020 presidential election results were victorious. Seven of them were incumbent members of Congress who were unopposed and received large votes in their own right. Four who were up against challengers all easily won. Mike Rogers in Alabama got 82%, Rick Crawford in Arkansas 75%, Andrew Clyde in Georgia 76%, and Marjorie Taylor Greene also in Georgia 70%. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Hey Australia, there's never been a better time to check up on your health. We have a world-class healthcare system that's easy to access, even when you can't be there in person. Telehealth enables you to catch up with your GP or health professional, and the Australian government has now made it permanently available through Medicare. Show your health some love, face-to-face, by phone or video call. Care for your health. Find out more at australia.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Instead of putting a cracker under a politician, why not some TNT? Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Dr. Robert O. Young talking about the alkaline diet and his work with athletes. I'm wondering what your whole take on other kind of like breath work and cold plunges, and do you ever deal with any of that kind of thing to affect the body?
Absolutely. You know, you can do breathing exercises where you breathe in through the nose and then you take in as much oxygen as you can through the nose, and then without letting the breath go, you take another breath through the mouth to actually push oxygen back down into the lower lobes of the lung to really facilitate, you know, greater capacity. That's what jogging and running and swimming and athletes, you know, they need that capacity, you know, of getting more oxygen into the tissues. And of course, you know, that comes by having healthy blood. One of your comments, I know that the response as it relates to, look, I'm not going to eat grass. I get it. And so,
I was just talking, making a cow joke. So like, I would eat vegetables and avocado and stuff like that. But yeah, I was just making a silly joke about cows eating grass. But go ahead.
No, but yeah, you know, as far as wheatgrass and barley grass, those things are juiced. And so, you know, many years ago, I put together a combination of 49 different greens and grasses and vegetables and green fruits, and I called it Super Greens. And I developed this in the 80s. And now, you know, if you go to the stores, you see, you know, Super Greens, or you see, that's what it was called, you see all the different green powders, because, you know, our teeth and our bodies aren't designed to digest grass. I mean, you can sprout it, wheatgrass, and then you can juice it and you can drink it, but the body is designed to use that molecule, that chlorophyll molecule, and the best way to get it is in a liquid form. And so, yes, you know, it's part of my day. I mean, I may drink anywhere from 3 to 4 liters of green juice a day.
Wow,
but that's what keeps me thriving, you know, in my 70s. And that's what keeps athletes thriving, is by drinking green juices and taking their salts. I call it the COWS program. It's basically seven doctors. It's an acronym. COWS, that stands for, C stands for chlorophyll, and clay. And the reason I mention clay is because the animals in the wild, when they eat berries or they eat leaves or they eat meat, they'll actually they'll go to what is called a clay lake and eat this dirt, the special cementite, you know, clay that helps to neutralize the acids or the anti-nutrients we were talking about. To neutralize those, because they're in all living things, and so the C stands for chlorophyll. All the green fruit, all the green vegetables, where you can get, you know, all the grasses, you know, all the leaves, where you can get this chlorophyll molecule, where you can get these positive nutrients. The O stands for oxygen, and not just any kind of oxygen. We're talking about O1 and H1, or reduced oxygen and reduced hydrogen, because that's the form of oxygen that we're breathing in O2. But here again, the body has to break that apart for any benefit into O1 or singlet oxygen. And so when we're eating or drinking alkaline foods or drinking alkaline water, we're getting some of that reduced oxygen. And when we're breathing in, our capacity increases. That's only going to be to our benefit. So breathing and deep breathing and doing exercise, stretching exercises, sweating, I think you mentioned another
cold
thing,
plunge.
You know, intermittent
cold
fasting,
plunges.
You
cold
know,
plunges.
The, what's that?
What about cold plunges?
Cold plunges. Yeah, well, yeah, the cold plunges really kind of shut down all of the, you know, I used to do that in Finland. We'd get into the Finnish sauna, we'd sweat, and then we'd jump in the freezing lake, you know, to close everything down, and then we'd open this up, you know, so we could sweat even more. But yes, that duality really creates circulation, and so when you do the cold plunges, you immediately start increasing circulation, and then of course, as you increase circulation, the body's going to start dropping waste from the compartments of the interstitial fluids. It's called out of the connective tissue, and then when you get into that Finnish sauna or the infrared sauna and start sweating, you literally can eliminate waste that you may be have stored, you know, for a day, 2 days, a week, or several years. It's a way.
What about
to detox.
Red light therapy?
What's that? Light therapy.
What about red light therapy?
Red light therapy. That would be a wavelength, a light frequency of about 900. But yes, that's the same frequency or wavelength of light that infrared operates on. But what it does, that light therapy, that red light, stimulates, circulation, opens up the pores of the skin, you know, and allows things to come out through sweating. You know, blue light, they've been using that in hospitals for years for preemies, to reduce any sort of bacteria. So it's very antibacterial. So it has a wavelength of 450. So it different wavelengths of light provide different benefits. And so that type of light therapy can be very helpful. But, I've always encouraged my clients to invest in an infrared sauna, which is the red light, to help them in a passive way to sweat, especially if they're not able to exercise. But and then another way would be salt baths, what are called thalassal pool baths, where you're actually bathing in magnesium or bathing in sodium. These thalassal pools, you can read about them at phmiracleretreat.com. And the various pools where we actually have people get into various pools, various temperatures, various salt concentrations of sodium and magnesium to literally pull waste out of that interstitial fluid out through the pores of the skin. And you can get into these pools and come out after an hour of treatment and literally remove 8 pounds of weight. Literally just pulls it right out through the pores of the skin. So you can either pee it out, eliminate it through the bowels. You can sweat it out, which I call peeing your way to health or sweating your way to health. And that's all part of the S, part of the cows, is not just, S stands for sunshine, but it also stands for sweating. It also stands for sexercise. I mean, having love in your life is very, very important. The W stands for water. So chlorophyll, oil, water, and salt are my basic four food groups. And the reason why I suggest to limit the amounts of animal proteins in your diet is to reduce the uric, nitric, sulfuric, and phosphoric acids. And the other thing from a scientific perspective is when you eat meat, it takes a double dose of alkalinity to remove the waste products, the acids of meat, than it does, let's say, from a sweet fruit. So
what about nutrients like in liver, like iron in liver and nutrients such as that are much more easier for people to assimilate that way? And how do you get those kind of nutrients in your cow's diet which is ironically titled Cows. I mean, it's just pretty funny that it's called Cows, and that's the only thing you won't eat.
Yeah, C-O-W. It's chapter 5 of the PH Miracle Revised and Updated book. Yeah, Cows, C-O-W-S. You know, I don't encourage people eating the cows.
Oh,
just kind.
Dr. Robert, sorry to cut you off, but we're just at the 1 minute mark. Sorry. Tell people how to get in touch with you, and we'll have to have you back on to explain the nutrients of liver and stuff like that.
Yeah, the best way to get in touch with me is through email, phmiraclelife@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, which is drrobertyoung.com, and there's a lot of free information there, a lot of articles that deal on a variety of different subjects, so you can really learn a lot. It just really isn't out there in the mainstream, other than
all right. Thank you for coming on. We're going to get cut off, Dr. Robert. I got to cut you off. We're going into the news in 10 seconds. Thanks for coming on. Keep listening, everybody. You're tuned into TNT Radio.